WATD presents Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
If it's Monday night, it's got to be Monday Night Talk with Kevin Tachi. So thanks for having me on.
Kevin, good for you to hold back and let him tell a story.
Putting the South Shore spin on politics, current events, and pop culture.
You guys are the center of the universe today, at least the political universe.
I believe both of you are from the area. Marshfield guys, yes, no?
Correct, yeah.
That's right.
There's only one person not from Marshfield in this room right now. And it's you.
It's me. I'm the outcast.
Well, you've always been generous with the time. I appreciate it very much.
Well, I'm honored to be on your show tonight, Kevin, with that impressive lineup you have.
I believe our guest that we've been waiting for, Congressman Stephen Lynch.
Kevin, good to join you.
The governor of the Commonwealth, Charlie Baker. You ready?
I got to tell you that it was really nice to hear Aerosmith on the intro there.
You're going
to
be the rock and roll governor?
I don't know about that, but...
We have Mayor Joe Sullivan joining us, sir. How are you?
Well, Kevin, very good to be with you again.
Dr. Drew Pinsky. Dr. Drew, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Mr. Ming Tsai, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks, Kevin.
Massachusetts State Auditor Suzanne Bump. Hello, Auditor. How are you?
I am fine, and I'm delighted to be with you this evening.
And now, your host, Kevin Tachi.
Rock and roll. It is time for Monday Night Talk. I am your guest. I am your host. Guest, of course, David Soper, already here warming up in the bullpen. David, thank you for coming early.
You're welcome.
Now, he's not technically a guest. He's not my guest co-host, but he's kind of hanging in for the first segment. David, of course, Hanson Selectman.
Former Hanson.
Former, I was going to say that, who actually is here to discuss a bill that's been put forth. You kind of...
This whole thing, sponsoring
a bill in regards to closing a loophole when it comes to Section 35. Section 35 is in regards to, it's a court order to actually put somebody away for treatment, so to speak. And it's done legally through the judicial system to force somebody to seek that treatment that they need. And the loophole that we're going to talk about, David is going to sit here and talk about, and this was something that was co-sponsored by State Representative Josh Cutler.
And my brother-in-law, Tom Berry.
Right. Now, is he a state representative?
No.
No, but he basically was kind of the...
Well, he lost his son.
He was kind of the seed that was planted, that grew this, so to speak. You two kind of help grow this, bring this forth to the state representative, who has since grabbed the ball... And he's running with it. And we're going to talk about that extensively coming up in a couple of minutes after we check traffic. We also have funny guy Paul Keenan, good friend to the radio program. He's been on here before. We're going to talk a little bit about the an event that's going to help fund a ride. You ever heard of the Pan Mass Challenge? I think everybody has. One of those grueling rides that they do in, I think this year it's going to be August 4th and 5th, 192 miles and... of course, the Pan Mass Challenge raises so much money. 100% of the proceeds from that go to Dana-Farber and help the Jimmy Fund and help find a cure for cancer. Everybody knows somebody who has been affected by cancer. We're going to talk with Paul. We're going to talk about a fundraiser that's going to be coming up this Saturday. So stay tuned for that. And then hour number two. We got a fun hour number two. Not that hour number one is not fun. But we start things out with Lynn Smith, who's with the Old Colony Elder Services, and Beth Hadfield. She is the activity coordinator for the Center of Active Care with the Plymouth Council on Aging. And we are going to talk about World Elder Abuse Awareness Day. We'll talk about the elder abuse and the signs of things to watch for, whether you know it or not. It's something that happens. And the abuse goes beyond the physical extent as well. So we're going to talk with Lynn and Beth about that and knowing the signs. And then we have a fun guest at 7:30. Fantastic guest. Are you a fan of sitcoms? Are you a fan of 70s, 80s sitcoms, book authors? Well, we got Marion Ross. Remember her? One of America's moms from Happy Days. Well, she's here to talk. She's going to be calling in to talk about her book, My Days Happy, and other. This is a book that she actually she wrote with David Laurel. So we're going to be doing that. And I think I'm getting the thumbs up that we are actually getting ready to pass through our traffic checkpoint. So we're going to put our directional on and be safe. Well, a lot of people do that, using that directional. and pull into the WATD Traffic Center. And awaiting it in just a moment is George Brown. We'll get to him, but just want to know, want you to know that traffic is being brought to you on this end by Brennan's Smoke Shop. Online at brennansmokeshopma.com with locations, there's many of them, Plymouth, Pembroke, Brockton, Wareham, Raynham, Taunton, Stoughton, and now Pope's Island, New Bedford. George, how is our wet and rainy ride home tonight?
Well, it's very slow leaving the city right now. Southbound, you've got delays coming out of the tunnel. You're jammed most of the way down past South Bay. Then you break free for a bit. You'll hit the brakes, Granite Avenue down to the Braintree split. Northbound is tough just getting up into the tunnel. The rest of the expressway looks good. Southbound coming off the expressway backs up a bit on Route 3. Down past Union Street, then it breaks free the rest of the way. You're looking good heading over the Sagamore Bridge if you're heading on or off Cape. No problems over at the Bourne Bridge. Route 24 and 44 right now look good. You can be the difference between a child continuing their dream of education or leaving it behind. Help make the future brighter for one child at unbound.org. Traffic on the nines every morning. I'm George Brown in WATD Traffic Center.
A Dad Story by Brennan Smoke Shop. I'm like 12 years old. Me and my father are trolling for bass down a little sandy pond in Plymouth. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, my rod bends in half. I'm reeling. My dad says, Jeffrey, give me the rod. And I'm like, no, Dad, I got this. I'm reeling and I'm reeling and I'm reeling. Dad's like, give me the rod, Jeffrey. I'm like, no, I got this, Dad. Jeffrey, give me the rod, he says. As he's saying it, this huge whopper of a bass comes jumping up out of the water. It's huge. The line snaps. My father hits the roof. Jeffrey! Ooh. Needless to say, we were done fishing after that. I'll tell you something, my dad has never caught a fish that big, and he probably never will. I'm sorry, Dad. I love you. Happy Father's Day from Brennan's Smoke Shop. Brennan's Smoke Shop, keeping fathers happy since 1993.
Monday Night Talk continues all week long. Go to 95.9WATD.com/Monday Night Talk and keep in touch on Facebook and Twitter. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Yeah, and don't forget, besides being able to check out the podcast, the Monday Night Talk podcast on the website, when you go to the WATD website on the homepage, clicking on the banner, we're available in iTunes. Did you know that, David?
No, I didn't.
We are available in iTunes. Boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, I think there's more than 900 podcasts that we have up now. I don't know if they're all in iTunes. They might just take a handful, but I know many of them are up on our Podbean site. So if you ever wanted to check out some of the great segments that we've had, please, I welcome you to do so. Speaking of great segments, we're looking forward to having a good conversation with friend David Soper, former Hanson Selectman, gentleman who's here to kind of give us a little insight, a story you probably either read in the Globe. It was something that has been reported on in regards to a bill that State Representative Josh Cutler is championing right now. And this is to be able to close a loophole in a way to force treatment on an individual, Section 35, but at least let the family know that if there's going to be an early release, let the family know that this the individual is going to be on the streets. So at least if further treatment is needed, that something can be done. Not necessarily getting a phone call, learning when it's too late that the individual is already out on the street and may be using, or heaven forbid, may have overdosed. David, if you will, give us the story in regards to how you got involved with this legislation with the state representative.
Well, essentially, back April 4th or 5th, I was on vacation in Naples, Florida, and got a call from my sister. And my sister said, Steven's gone. That's my nephew who died of a drug overdose. And I said, Steven's gone where? And it gives me chills just recalling this. Sure. But it took her a couple times to kind of hammer my head. And she finally said it, that he had died of a drug overdose. So fast forward to about a week after he was buried, my brother-in-law, Tom Berry, his dad, said, you know, I didn't know the particulars at the time. I knew that he was a Bridgewater State Drug and Rehabilitation Center. I knew he was under a section. I think, not at Bridgewater, but I think we're talking 6 or 7 times, maybe 8 times for Stephen. And with somebody that's been struggling with addiction, they have to come to the crossroads and realize that they have to help themselves. And the Section 35 is a civil commitment by the family when the courts deem that an individual is a danger to himself as well as society, and both have to be present in order for a Section 35 to happen. This is a last resort for a lot of families. They don't want to do it, obviously, but as you've heard and known out there, that households and families get torn apart. We are the silent faces of the hands that are chained arm in arm, holding things together, and nervously waiting for that call. I know my brother-in-law had received several calls. I'd received a call in December from Stephen, and it was just chilling. He wanted a place to sleep, and I couldn't provide it for him because I knew he was using. It was the most heartbreaking thing to say, Stephen, I know you're using. I know that if I let you in my home, that bad things will follow. And just to give you a way of background, we just never thought we would be in the position to say no to a loved one. Picture your niece, nephew, picture the relationship you have today, and then fast forward 5 years later, and you're saying no to this young person. Because you really have no choice, and you know it isn't in the best interest of anybody.
Well, it's interesting to note, I think everybody, and I said this to you before we came on air just a few minutes ago, and that is, I think everybody has been touched, whether it's you know a friend, you have a family member, maybe you might have a family member who is using, whether it's somebody who is a peer or somebody who is a child.
Yeah.
Or a child's child,
right?
Again, we're spanning the different demographics, but you have to say to yourself, you're right. You have to say no, because the last thing you want to do is to enable, you know, that person's behavior. And if anything, you want to kind of coax them to say, hey, you want to seek treatment. But again, it's so crazy how addiction. There's been drugs. I mean, we look throughout time, whether it's alcohol or drugs. Drugs have always been somehow prevalent in our society, but not as to the degree that they are today.
Yeah, it's crossed all economic boundaries, all socioeconomic boundaries, and the biggest thing is that it's just hitting mainstream America right in the gut. And my nephew smashed his wrist in a motorcycle dirt bike accident and was given opioid for painkillers. Mm. And his father said he was an addict before he left the hospital. And we could see just the transformation of him sheltering himself and being quiet, etc. But I go back to the call that I received from my brother-in-law, and he knew that I was politically active on the South Shore. And he said, hey, you know some people. Let's try and change some things about what happened with Stephen. Just a quick little anecdote. Stephen was released from state care, Bridgewater State Drug and Rehabilitation Center, without a proper exit interview from a practitioner, from anybody on the team that's supposed to be exiting him. He was let out as a result of a court date. So he was let out on Monday, we guess, for a court date on Wednesday for a criminal matter that involved his mother. He had stolen some stuff, and this is how bad things get. He had stolen some items and stole the car from her. He was arrested. They had decided as a family, this is it. We're gonna press charges. This is tough love, and he's gonna have to go through the process. But nobody envisioned Bridgewater State Drug and Rehabilitation Center letting somebody go without an exit interview, without any type of family support on the other end to intercept him. And that's where our story begins, and tragically ends as well.
Were you part of the hearing before the Joint Committee on Mental Health, Substance Abuse, and Recovering?
Yes, I was.
What was that like?
That was...
Was it like not only... I don't know if you had a chance to say something, but watching your brother-in-law as he tries to share his story, or if you had a chance to say a few words, what was that whole process like?
For me, it was, I told the entire story from beginning to end and what it was to us and what it felt like to us. But somebody in my position that have been involved politically, that have been involved locally, just sitting on boards and I still sit up at South Shore Hospital where we raise money for South Shore Hospital. So I've been involved.
You're an active community member.
Yeah, in the Absolutely. Community, and that's what I'm trying to say. For me, I had an impact statement. It was about 4 minutes long. So there are little excerpts in the Globe piece. But for me, I had to practice that statement over and over again because I just didn't want to crack. I sounded like a lawyer. It's probably one of the best, unfortunately, one of the best pieces of journalism, you know, that I've ever written. I'm not a writer, but it was well written and it got the message across, and it was numbing. It was really numbing. I just couldn't believe that I was there for that reason, but I also couldn't believe that I was actually at the door, the front door of opportunity to change that law. And that was our goal from day one. We weren't going to sue the state. We weren't going to go in and cause noise. I told Tom just his goal was to make changes so this wouldn't happen again in the addiction community. And that was our goal, and we kept our eyes on it. We were fortunate enough to get in front of some people. We kept asking the questions, and we kept moving up the ladder.
You've kind of described why this legislation is so important. What is it going to actually be designed to do if it's able to get the votes to pass into law?
Okay, essentially it's in committee. So those out there that are on the South Shore that can hear us or anywhere else, live podcast, live streams, you can contact your Massachusetts state representative and tell them that you want this bill taken out of committee. It's bill number 4497, and it needs to be taken out of committee, and then it has the opportunity at that point to be grabbed by the Senate and ushered through as an amendment to Governor Baker's, what I'm calling Governor Baker's opioid bill or care bill. That's bill number 4033. Mm-hmm. And the chairwoman of the Drug Abuse and Mental Health said that she was willing to do that. I also contacted Senator DiMacedo's office, and he also spoke at the hearing in favor of this change. And essentially, this change is not a HIPAA violation, but in fact, letting a loved one that petitioned them that this person is getting out and will need either a ride or needs to know the next course of treatment for their action, or a family plan. A lot of this involves a family plan where someone is coming out of detoxification and the family wants to get together. Maybe it's with a psychiatrist. You know, maybe it's with a counselor to help them. I know South Shore Peer Recovery is excellent at that. They'll actually assign a coach, where someone will come in that's already beaten this opioid addiction.
A sponsor.
Yeah. Absolutely. A sponsor will come in and shepherd them through to their next level of service, or start them on their daily life of having a reality without
getting
drugs.
To meetings.
Right.
Talking with other peers who are dealing and battling with this. And there's no shame in what's going on, but it's a matter of talking it out. I've been to NA meetings. I've been to these meetings and seen what goes on. And the idea is, you know, there's no finger wagging. There's no someone who is staring down at you going, oh, you again. It's people who are dealing with this.
Compassionate.
Right.
They're open-minded and asking people to help support them.
Absolutely. Again, we're speaking with David Soper, a former Hanson selectman and a gentleman, along with his brother-in-law, Tom Berry, who are helping to help to craft this legislation, and it's being moved forward by State Representative Josh Cutler, who has sponsored this bill. Let me ask you this, David. When we look at what's going on with addiction and knowing what we've watched happen over the past 5, 6, 7 years from the administration we had, the Deval Patrick administration, that's when we started seeing this,
right,
this thing. We started recognizing that this was, hold on a second, Ben, do you want to kind of chime in here real quick? Do we have a call? Okay, do you have a name for the caller? He's
yes, it is Joe on the line.
Joe, okay. All right, Joe, do you have a quick question? Hello, Joe.
I wanted to praise you folks for spending the time to get this legislation passed. I think it's long overdue.
Thank you, Joe.
Okay, but I'm fully supportive of it. But you know, just to play the devil's advocate,
mm-hmm,
I just think there's too much enabling in this society of younger people, you know, in 20-somethings and early 30-somethings, you know, we're evidently doing something wrong in this society, that we're producing a lot of, you know, people that want to do drugs.
Sure. If I could ask you real quick, though, Joe, if you heard David explain, this was the addiction that Stephen Berry suffered, was he actually got injured. And when he went to the hospital, he was prescribed opioids and became addicted from the opioids. So what's your answer to that?
I know in his individual circumstance,
right,
I fully understand that.
Okay.
You know, I mean, but a lot of the people that are hooked on these opioids are getting them on the street.
Mm.
They're not getting them for legitimate purposes like this poor individual who got addicted. And, you know, I just think, you know, there's a lot of people out there, younger people, that are being enabled. You know, they're enabled. And years ago, you know, the kids without direction, they go in the military or they go, you know, different avenues. And why do we have so many people hooked on these opioids? Could you help me?
It's an excellent question. And I think it's something that's going to consider. We're going to need more research. And who knows? Again, it could be from upbringing. It could be from, again, you know, depending on, I mean, it's today's society is about, if I'm in pain, I take something to get rid of the pain. It's not a matter of dealing with the pain. Again, I don't have all the answers. The whole idea of the program is just to kind of talk about things. And Joe, I thank you for calling in.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, sir. There he is, Joe in the car, it sounds like.
Yeah.
We just got a couple of minutes left here. And David, thank you for letting us take that phone call. Talk to us in regards to, as I was starting to say, before Ben took the phone call, is that we have seen that there has been slow progress in trying to do something about this. On the tail end of Deval Patrick's administration here in the state, to Charlie Baker when he came on, had a working group toward the state to try to get an idea, what do we need? Do we need more beds? Do we need more treatment? And we have seen where there has been an evolution where instead of somebody being, if they get caught with drugs, it's something that they go before a regular judicial hearing, and now there are drug courts to help that person deal with what the problem is.
Right.
How do you feel that things are progressing in regards to trying to find ways to keep people alive? We got Narcan. Now you got police and fire departments who are administering Narcan to keep people alive. And one of our reports that we did actually today in regards to that, Plymouth is seeing a little bit of a spike of overdoses, but Narcan is 95% successful,
right,
in reviving somebody. How do you feel we have made progress over the past number of years since we've realized that we have a major problem?
Actually, within the last year, and I think honestly, things were, there was an undertow and a current underneath us already. After what we did in highlighting the issue, we started at District Attorney Cruz's office, and they've been a great, great help in us. Then I kept asking questions. We ended up, I figured we were going to be sitting with a bunch of senators, maybe crafting a bill. We got two brainstorming sessions with Chief Justice Paul Dolly, who's the highest court member on the criminal justice side. And he is the providing Chief Justice for the Massachusetts criminal courts. He's got 1,000 employees under him and some 30 judges. And we were giving two opportunities to talk about this. And everybody was shocked and involved in our dialogue. And really, the Baker administration, along with District Attorney Cruz's office, along with the 27 counties in Plymouth County that are the police departments that are now interconnected, there are less silos. All this has happened within the last year. And I feel there are a lot of changes coming. Social Peer Recovery has gotten a recent grant to help people with addiction. There's just a lot going on. And we've been a part of it. Tom Berry and myself and State Representative Josh Culler, we've been a part of that with our meetings. I think we've been turning up the soil, if you will, on what's been going on in the streets. And I think our testimonials have played an important role in different directions that this legislation needs to go. And the Baker administration has done an excellent job creating an opportunity for our legislature to act on a lot of good things.
We got to wrap our segment up here. I wish it could be a longer one, but if you want to get if you wanted to say something to our listeners right now as to how they can help champion this bill out of committee and hopefully get some kind of a vote, whether it be before the end of the regular session or, you know,
we don't want to start over.
At least before the end of the legislative session.
Exactly.
The end of the year here.
Yep.
What would you want to say to them real quick?
What I want everybody to understand is if you live in Duxbury, Pembroke, and Hanson, your state representative has already supported this. Josh has helped us sponsor this bill.
Yep.
So anybody beyond that listening area, contact your state rep and tell them that you want Bill number 4497 to come out of committee and to be voted on, and it's a notification of petitioner. It's all it is. It's a notification of petitioner. That's the title of the bill, 4497, and that's really the best way to do it. Contact State Representative Cutler's office. If you have any questions or not sure who your rep is, or go online to massdev.com and look up your state rep and contact them. Thank you.
David, thank you very much for being our guest and talking about this important issue and about this bill that we hope that's going to come out of committee and find some kind of traction to help families know before it's too late. We're going to step aside. You are, again, listening to Monday Night Talk. Up next, just a few moments, funny guy, comedian, friend, Paul Keenan, right here on 95.9 WATD.
Is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
McGuigan's Pub in downtown Whitman is a great place to unwind any night of the week. Stop in for Singo on Monday night. There's the always popular Irish Sessions every Tuesday night, half-price pizza every Wednesday night, and Friday and Saturday nights feature the best in live entertainment. Catch your favorite game on McGuigan's 8 big flat screens and enjoy a pint at their beautiful 54-foot mahogany bar. Whether you're a regular or coming in for the first time, you're always a friend of McGuigan's Pub, 546 Washington Street, Whitman Center.
Atlantic Coffee and Provision is the leading office break room and refreshment company in Massachusetts. From single cup coffee systems to our full lineup of over 1,000 items, Atlantic has it all. Visit AtlanticCoffee.com. Atlantic Coffee, we have a taste for service.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. Don't just listen, say something. Call 781-837-4900. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
Hey, we're back for the second segment of Monday Night Talk. Thank you for keeping your radio dial set here. Of course, you can hear us on the World Wide Web, www.959watd.com. And if you've missed any episode of Monday Night Talk, podcasts are usually uploaded weekly. You can click on the Monday Night Talk banner on the homepage, and it'll take you to all of our podcasts, or check us out in iTunes. We have a gentleman who hasn't been here for a while, but he's been somewhat regular in the past, where he's kind of popped on the program to talk about upcoming shows, things that he's doing. Local funny guy, Mr. Paul Keenan. Welcome back to Monday Night Talk, sir.
Hi, Kev. How are you, buddy?
You don't sound funny today.
What do you mean? And I got two words out of my mouth, and you're already on me.
You sound down. You sound down
no,
and out.
I'm relaxed.
It's June.
I'm relaxed.
Is it? Yeah, you are kind of relaxed.
Chill.
A chill to you.
I do, yes.
Well, I hope you're not going to be chilled this coming, is it Saturday? It's Sunday.
I probably will, but I could be chill and be funny, can't
it's
I?
This Saturday.
Do I have to be zany and wacky?
Big event. We're actually kind of doing this for someone we both know. Big event, TJ Smith's in East Bridgewater. Doors opening at 6 o'clock. Lots of awesome raffles. Two hilarious comedians. I think you'd be one of them.
I hope so.
Live music.
Yes.
And this is all to benefit the Pan Mass Challenge, that grueling ride that some people love to embark on. We have one young lady, Claire Conroy, who is one of those riders. Why are you chuckling?
Yeah, I just haven't seen you at work in a long time. It makes me laugh.
Okay. We're talking about Claire. Claire actually has, in the years that she's been doing it, her first ride back in 2011. Since 2011, she has raised close to $70,000.
Yeah, she's very dedicated. She, you know, puts aside a lot of time for this whole PMC thing. She is always riding, training runs. It's... she's very dedicated. I'm proud of her.
Well, she's part of a group of folks who are very dedicated. Not only a group as those who are part of the PMS Challenge, which entering its 39th year has given close to $60 million since its inception back in 1980. But she's part of, I think, like four or five people.
Yeah, Team Jake.
Team Jake.
Yeah, there's about four or five of them that train together pretty much for most of the year. And then they embark on the PMC together.
You ever thought about doing a ride like that?
Two days, 200 miles? Hell no.
See, I'm about to watch. But you see, you're somebody who's a supporter. You go usually hang out from time to time with a group of folks to cheer on Claire and other folks.
Yeah. We'll be on the route, and you know, as she'll ride by, we'll hoot and holler, and sometimes she'll stop.
Sometimes she doesn't.
Yeah.
I don't know this.
It's them again.
I don't know this. I don't know those people.
Just keep going.
Well, so far this year, she's raised almost $1,500. She had a hell of a year last year as she raised $15,157.
I believe it's early in the campaign.
It's very early.
She closes very strong. She makes, I'm pretty sure she makes the majority of her raisings in the right kind of near the race.
She's going to read something from her PMC profile, if I may, here. And again, this is Claire Conroy, who we're talking about. This is a fundraiser that she's going to be holding in East Bridgewater this coming Saturday. Each year, I question if I'm going to ride again. Well, by the end of the weekend, I'm tired, I'm sore, I'm spent. See, I'm mentally just thinking about it. I'm tired and sore and spent. It usually takes me a few days to truly appreciate what we accomplished in 2017. She again recognizes that the PMC riders, they raised $51 million. That alone is the reason why she gets back on her bike each year.
Not only that, but So they have these children that they are pretty much riding for. They're kind of their sponsors for the race. And it's pretty cool. I've had the occasion to actually meet one of the children. And, it's just the poor kids just got dealt a bad deal, right? And so to be able to meet them and see where the money goes and stuff, it's really cool. Because the kids, they didn't do anything, and they just got, like I said, dealt a raw deal. And they need the help.
Again, think about it. How many, it's like one of those things. You know somebody who has dealt with cancer, who's battled cancer. We've probably all know, lost a friend or a loved one to cancer. And what's great about the Pan Mass Challenge, what's great about the Dana-Farber Institute, when the PMC donates, they don't just do a part of the proceeds or a portion. There are those charities out there that they raise money, but it all doesn't go to...
Yeah, they still pay for a CEO's private jet and...
Yeah, the golden parachute when they boot him out boot him out of his seat.
It's a not-for-profit, but the CEO has a brand spanking new jet.
The PMC actually donates 100%
That's great.
Of every rider's raised dollar directly to Dana-Farber, and is the Institute's largest single contributor, raising more than 52% of the annual revenue at the Jimmy Fund event that we normally see.
It's pretty impressive.
It definitely is. So talk to me about this fantastic event that's going to be coming up. I'm sure you've been, have you written some new material for it? Or are you kind
well,
of
the- no, I've had to.
Have you really?
Yes, I had no choice. if you've seen me in the past, you know, a majority of my material was about being overweight.
And you're not anymore.
No, I'm not.
I didn't even recognize. I'm like, can I help you, sir? You want me to do the segment? Yeah. I'm like, who is this guy?
All right, now you're being ridiculously being nice. Ridiculous.
Anybody who knows you has followed you, that you have, you went from that gentleman who had a little extra on your frame to you kind of...
A little, like 100 pounds extra. It's a little more than a little. I had an extra human on me. So if you know anybody that's 100 pounds, I lost the equivalent of them.
Wow.
Yeah, so all the fat stuff had to go. I can't do fat jokes anymore because I'm not fat. It wouldn't be... I would just be peddling it. And I don't want to just change it. No, when I used to be fat. So I just decided I'm going to write new stuff. And it's been good. It's been good. It's been... I got a little bit of a muse there when I lost the weight.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, so I do. I have a bunch of new stuff that had to take the place of that 20 minutes of, hey, I'm fat. Look at me. I'm fat.
you had more than just the fat stuff. You had good comedy material. You've been with some big names.
No, I did, but the point is that's all gone now. I can't do that. Can't so it was that. Good. It was a good boost that I needed to keep my... I mean, when you have jokes that are old enough to buy liquor, you should probably make some changes. And I did. So come out and see the changes, the new stuff.
Who's joining you?
I will be joined by Amy T. Amy is a... it's like a double headliner event. We both headline shows all over New England. And basically, we're both... So Claire is a very good personal friend of mine. And so I set the show up for her. And I guess Amy is a very close personal friend of somebody else on the team. So, you know, she asked if she could jump on board. And I was like, hell yeah, let's do this. So myself and Amy T will be the laughing entertainment for the evening.
Really? So there's no host. There's nobody to fluff the audience.
Nope.
You know, no open... fluff,
it's
I mean.
Just
you
us.
Opening act, you know, kind of the warm-up act, you know, going...
We do have my friend Craig Coyle will be playing music before and after the show.
Don't you play music with him sometimes?
I do. I might even get up on stage and sing a couple songs. Who knows?
I've actually seen
Depends how much I've had to drink.
Really?
Yeah.
So, folks, this is your opportunity. When you see Paul early, buy him a drink, right? Because he just said it. The more drinks...
No, it's actually the other way.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, no. If I've had too much to drink, I'm not going near that damn stage because it's ugly. If I haven't had a lot to drink, then I will
so
get
is it like
up
bad karaoke
it.
If you have too much to drink?
It's not even... Well, if I had the words, then yes. But what happens is I get too much to drink. I forget the words. So it's not pretty. You know, and I don't have a karaoke TV to rely on. Hey, right, stupid, well, here's the words.
Right, here's the words. Follow the outline.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Follow the old bouncing ball.
Yeah, I could. That's why I don't do karaoke. Because I'm bad at following.
That and you can't sing?
I can't sing. know where your strength is. It's not singing.
You got a great voice for radio.
I have a great voice, and you know the perfect face for it as well.
I wasn't going to go there, but
yeah, you could have gotten away with it.
Nah, come on. It's still, I would do that off air, but.
So what? Talk to me about what mode again. Sometimes there are things that you do and you don't do for friends. What is it about Claire and Claire's love for doing this fundraiser that you get involved on a regular
basis? Yeah, well, you know, you're there for your friends. It's a worthy cause. It's a cause that you keyed on before. Donates the majority of the money to the actual cause.
Who else can say that? It's not many, right. Not many. There are not many charities who go out. They raise the funds that actually give all of it back.
Right. Also, there's usually a funny story involved in Claire's training every year.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
Wait.
Exactly.
Was that a buzzword?
Exactly. There was that year she was on a training ride and she hit a deer.
And she, you know what? And for a whole year she didn't lift that deer.
No, hey, she still did the ride. She's a trooper.
Yes.
Who else can say that? They plowed into a deer and still did the PMC both days.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So she's a very good friend.
Wasn't it? What was it last year? Was it last year she did? It was a Dixie. Did she take a Dixie or something?
That
might have been during the ride.
She's always taking a Dixie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, you got to lock your pedals in. See, that's the other thing why I won't do it.
That's scary stuff.
That's
right.
Insane. I mean, I'm somebody who follows the Tour de France. At least I did until I learned that, you know, sometimes they like to cheat. They got to give back everything that they
PEDs.
That they earned. PEDs and you name it. But watching them as they're trying to, you know, have the best times, and you know when they're climbing the mountains and they're dancing on the pedals and all that stuff, and then the thing is that, you know, there's those times where when the cameras are going by and there's a guy who's down, he's just he's like he looks like a chalk outline, but it's actually a rider who spilled because he was locked in and he just went over and
that's
humbled.
Dangerous. Like these guys are going as fast, if not faster than cars sometimes, yeah, downhill. And if you hit like a patch of dirt or something, I've done it when
you're
I was a kid.
Done.
Road rash, like
you're
crazy.
Done.
Yeah. So, and they don't have like, they're not wearing motorcycle protective clothing. No. These guys are in tank tops and tight shirts and shorts. Yeah. Actually, that's part of the reason I like to go too, is I like to see how some of the people really cram themselves. It would be like, I could jump out there and do it. Yeah.
Very interesting. Again, we're speaking with comedian Paul Keenan as we're talking a little bit about the upcoming event this Saturday at TJ Smith's in East Bridgewater. Doors are going to open at 6 o'clock, and there's going to be lots of great stuff going on, as well as great entertainment being provided by Amy T and our friend here, Paul Keenan.
Yeah, Craig will be playing when you get there, and he'll play until the show starts, and then we'll do the show, and probably do some raffles and stuff, and Craig will play again. Maybe I'll play.
Now, they can take credit cards for the tickets and the raffle tickets, but the bar is cash only. So keep that in mind if you are going to go and enjoy this particular event. And I also...
Enjoy the keys word. Is the key word.
Yes.
Don't come if you're going to be miserable.
And if you know, while we're talking about this for somebody that we know, and again... if you wanted to visit her profile and make a donation, you could do that as well. It's go to Pan Mass. It was easy for me to find the information here for the event and for the Pan Mass Challenge fact sheet, which was fantastic, and more about what she has done. Like I said, I think it's around $70,000, and she continues to add to that total. But all I had to do was just put her name in, and boom, I was able to pull up her profile and all the information and all the stuff that she has done. And right there on that page, if you wanted to make a kind and friendly donation, so be it. While we are talking about one particular rider, maybe you know somebody who is a rider. It doesn't hurt for you to go to their page, give a little bit of a donation. I know I do. I give regular donations because, again, I have had a family member. I've had family members, I've had friends of friends who have been, you would think by all the money that has been raised. It's almost like that old adage, back in the day when they used to do the muscular dystrophy fundraisers. You see the telethons and everything, and $1 more.
It's definitely something that's touched everybody, and you know, it's like this: you can do your part and have a good time at the same time. So it's like everybody wins. So come out, donate some money to beat cancer and get some great laughs.
Indeed. Well said, my friend. Well, we're almost out of time here, but it's kind of interesting that one of our later segments, it's too bad you can't stick around, but we have Marion Ross.
Oh,
it's going to
wow.
be our final guest.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
And, you know, I thought of you for some reason because being a redhead, I'm sure there were many times as a kid, as a younger guy, you were liking who?
Yeah, Richie Cunningham. It wasn't just my childhood. In fact, when I first started doing comedy, that was one of my openers. Oh, it's Richie Cunningham on steroids. So tell my mom that I said hello.
I will. She actually has written a new book. And I think a lot of it has to do with a lot of the behind the scenes of...
Really?
...of that show and, you know, her coming up as an actor.
Cool.
So it's going to be very cool.
Yeah.
And it's kind of even more interesting... I will ask her as to her thoughts on how some of the other folks are doing in, you know, that she's worked with. You look what's been out in the movies the past couple of weeks. Ron Howard, of course, director of Solo, right? He's doing quite well. I mean, he went from being, you know, this little kid who is on
Mayberry RFD.
Mayberry RFD, thank you very much. And then, you know, he grew up into being Happy Days before you knew what he was, you know, behind the camera. And although I might ask her a Clint Howard question. How many times did Clint Howard make it onto Happy Days? Because it seems that every time Ron Howard has a movie.
Oh, it's huge nepotism involved. He's got a role in every single movie.
And he has a role in Solo.
Absolutely.
You know?
Hey, if you make it, might as well keep your family busy too, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I will make sure that I tell Mrs. C that you said hello.
Yes, definitely.
I'll pass it along. I don't know how it'll be received, but what the hell?
She's going to be like, who's that?
Who's that? That's a guy who... here locally is a kind of a lookalike, or was thought to be a lookalike of Richie Cunningham on steroids, so to speak. Again, our guest has been one and only Paul Keenan, as we have talked up a big event coming this Saturday. If you have an opportunity to get on down to TJ Smith's in East Bridgewater, 6 p.m. Remember, that's when the doors open. It will be for a fantastic cause. And, of course, you get to see a good guy like Paul Keenan. And you have a good time as well.
Yeah, it'll be a great show. It's for a great cause. Please come down. If you come to see me at all, people are always like, when are you going to be local? I can't get more local than this. And if you're going to come see me locally, come to this show. Because it not only is it going to be a great show, but it also is for a great, great cause.
Excellent. We are going to step aside. Of course, this will conclude the first hour of Monday Night Talk. And when we come back, hour number two, right here, as you are listening to Monday Night Talk, only on 95.9 WATD.
The South Shore's breaking news, weather, and traffic station.
95.9 WATD FM Marshfield and 95.9 WATD.com.
McGuigan's Pub in downtown Whitman is a great place to unwind any night of the week. Stop in for Singo on Monday night. There's the always popular Irish Sessions every Tuesday night, half-price pizza every Wednesday night, and Friday and Saturday nights feature the best in live entertainment. Catch your favorite game on McGuigan's 8 big flat screens and enjoy a pint at their beautiful 54-foot mahogany bar. Whether you're a regular or coming in for the first time, you're always a friend of McGuigan's Pub, 546 Washington Street, Whitman Center.
Down. download the Monday Night Talk podcast from iTunes for free. Just search for Monday Night Talk WATD. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
All right, hour number two is underway. If you are listening to Monday Night Talk, remember, if you missed any segment, all the segments are fun. They're informative. Go to the homepage of WATD 95.9, WATD.com. We are also available in iTunes. It's that easy to be able to check out some of the programs that we've had, some of the guests we've had, some of the topics that we have discussed. This particular segment is somewhat important, I feel. In a day and an age where we recognize that there's abuse, that the things are happening, that we're more, I think, as a society, we're trying to be, we care more about each other. Coming up in just, I say, a week is is an event that I think took place it was 2006 that it was created, World Elder Abuse Awareness Day, some information that I have here. Each year, an estimated 5 million older adults are abused, neglected, or exploited. Older Americans lose an estimated $2.6 billion or more annually due to elder financial abuse or exploitation. Funds that could be used to pay for basic needs such as housing, food, and medical care. And unfortunately, it occurs in every demographic. It can happen to anyone, a family member, a neighbor, even you. So the idea is for us to discuss this. There are communities that are actually going to be having a World Elder Abuse Awareness Day events. I know Plymouth is planning to have theirs on June 21st. Brockton will hold theirs next week on the 14th. Joining me as guest, I feel privileged, as we have Lynn Smith, who is with the Old Colony Elder Services. Lynn?
Good afternoon and evening.
She's a good friend. I've actually done news stories with Lynn. She wears many hats, but today she's going to wear the hat of the Old Colony Elder Services.
I am, and thanks so much for having me on. For folks out there in your audience who might not know about OCES or Old Colony Elder Services, mm-hmm. we've been in business since 1974, so we're 44 years old, and we serve Greater Plymouth County. So think in your mind's eye from Avon down to about Wareham and from Easton about over to Plymouth. And our job is to try to help older Americans and the disabled live as independently as possible for as long as possible. Last year, we served about 22,000 consumers in our area. Shorthand, a lot of people know us as the Meals on Wheels people. Mm-hmm. We deliver, as part of our nutrition program, 1,600 meals every day.
Excellent.
So one of the things that we're really focusing on during the month of June, which is World Elder Abuse Awareness Month, is the situation that a lot of our seniors, unfortunately, might have to worry about. You know, Kevin, we are an aging population. I think I saw a statistic that said about 10,000 people a day are turning 65 in America. So the elder population, the older population, I am one of them, we're getting bigger and bigger. And so sometimes the numbers get a little bit scary, especially around this sensitive topic.
Amen. And of course, our other guest is Beth Hadfield. She is the activity coordinator. Is that correct?
Yeah.
For the Center for Active Care at the Plymouth Council on Aging?
Yeah, it's the Plymouth Center for Active Living.
Okay. And you actually brought... Come on, give mom some love.
I brought my mother, Roberta, with me. She's down here visiting us from New York.
Shout out to Roberta. Welcome to the show, Roberta.
Thank you so much.
Okay. And it's funny is that Beth walked and she goes, you know, I do TV and I do what you do. And only I'm going to be on this side of the table. I'm like, I'm looking forward to that, Beth.
It'll be a challenge.
It'll be a challenge.
Thanks for the challenge, Kevin.
Well, talk to us. What do you do what's the show that you do on?
So,
please feel free to promote it.
Okay, so I do Nook News on PAC TV.
Wow.
And I interview people in relation to senior events or topics that are related to seniors, because I am the activity coordinator at the center and I plan everything that goes on in that building with a lot of help. So we definitely take care of our Plymouth seniors.
So I will ask both of you the question, and that is, what is elder abuse? In your book, what is elder abuse?
Well, there's different categories of elder abuse, so that we can break them down basically into physical abuse. That's what most of us think about when someone gets hit, when someone gets choked, when someone's hands are bound and they're black and blue. But there's also emotional abuse. Some of us as kiddos, you know, might remember people saying, if you do this, then I'm going to do this to you. Or, yeah, I'll get you a glass of water, and then you're afraid that it's going to be thrown in your face. So there's that type of emotional abuse. There's financial exploitation, not only scams that elders have to worry about, but also, hey, Ma, you don't need to worry about that big house anymore. Just sign this piece of paper and I'll take care of everything for you. And then we have sexual abuse, which is self-explanatory. Mm-hmm. And then the two what I call neglects. One is neglect by a caretaker, and one is self-neglect, when a senior just can't take care of himself or herself anymore. So those are the broad categories.
Beth?
I think at the center we have two social outreach workers. We have Andrea and April, who work directly with seniors in our community on a daily basis. And we hear more about the monetary abuse and self-neglect.
How can one tell if someone is the victim of elder abuse, Beth?
Well, first of all, you need to take a good look at them. Like Lynn mentioned, you know, sometimes someone's going to have bruises. And you want to be aware of this, because if this is someone you see every day and they were fine a week ago and now you're noticing things are changing, that should set a light bulb off in your head. Also, are they unkempt? Do they look like they've not showered? Are their clothes very wrinkled? You really want to take a good look at the person you're concerned about.
Almost like you saw them a couple of days ago, they're wearing the same clothing, and a couple of days later they're wearing the same clothing, stuff like that.
Exactly. Even odor too. You never know. They're gonna stop doing everything they need to for themselves in fear of what's going on behind closed doors.
Mm. And then there are more subtle things to watch for. You know, if you see the self-esteem of a person going down and there's no explanation for it, or if someone jumps, you know, at a sound, or jumps when you approach them for no particular reason. If you notice that someone is having sleep disturbances, someone who usually had pretty good sleep patterns, you know, maybe 4 hours a night like I do, but all of a sudden there's a change in a sleep pattern. So sometimes there's more subtle things to be concerned about as well.
Is there any, I mean, if you're around certain people, maybe just hearing them and hearing, maybe they don't have money. Like, oh, I don't have any. Is there complaining that financially they don't have any money? Like, oh, that doesn't make sense. Is it stuff like that?
Yeah, I mean, if you are close enough to someone to know, maybe not to the penny, but you know they have a pretty decent pension, or you know that they have some savings or some Social Security, and all of a sudden they just don't seem to be able to take care of themselves or the bills or the house the way it would be normal. You know, you say to yourself, what's happening with their money? I worked in banking for almost 40 years, and we used to train our tellers in the bank to watch for changes in patterns. If somebody came in and all of a sudden had a new friend, and the new friend was helping them, quote unquote, take money out of the ATM, or all of a sudden a new name was going to go on a bank account and there didn't seem to be any rhyme nor reason nor connection for it. So there's little telltale signs like that to watch for. But You know, one of the things that's really important in a situation like this is for a senior to have a really strong network and have people around him or her that sort of watches and knows what's going on. And that's what's so great about the Center for Active Living, because they really provide a wonderful support system for seniors to kind of watch out for each other.
That leads me to my next comment, that sometimes the person being abused, if they're comfortable enough, and the staff at the center are so welcoming, that we've actually had people reach out to us to say, you know what, my spouse is not acting in a way that is appropriate, and I need some help. And we very creatively and carefully, along with the help of Old Colony Elder Services, are reaching out to those people because they're reaching out to us and saying, I need you.
Is it easy to assume that usually it's a spouse that's being abusive? Who are the abusers?
I think it's not just one person. It can be your spouse, it can be your children, it can be your neighbors, it can be your caregiver. You might have people
maybe
coming in.
Maybe a sibling who's still a younger sibling, stuff like that?
That's right. Lynn, I don't know what you think, but I don't think it can be just one person. I think it'd be many.
That's right. I mean, national statistics say about 60% of the abusers are family members in some way or the other. But that leaves another 40% that are out there. You know, in fiscal year 2017, there were over 30,000 cases of elder abuse reported in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. And about just over 9,000 of those cases had to be turned over to legal authorities, you know, the DA or investigators. But that means quite a number of cases could be investigated and could be resolved with some supportive services, some wraparound services. So I'll give you an example. You know, let's say your mom is no longer able to take care of her and you keep her at your house and you provide a wonderful soft bed and, you know, a chair and the television where she can sit. Well, you go off to work. Well, maybe mom can't get out of the bed anymore, or maybe she can't get out of the chair in time to use the facilities, and so now, you know, she develops some sort of a rash, or maybe she's not able to get a glass of water to take her meds. You know, technically, that could be considered a case of neglect. So what do you need in that situation? You don't need to go to jail. You need help with caregiving. And so one of the things, for example, we do at Old Colony Elder Services is kind of assess the situation and see if there are wraparound services that we can help you with. Maybe it's something as simple as going to an adult daycare for the day. Could be something like that. A lot of families are dealing with members who have some form of dementia or Alzheimer's.
Sure.
And, you know, if they're a wanderer, it might be safe to keep them locked in a room, but maybe that's not the best resolution.
You're better off maybe seeking the help of either a nursing center. You got life care centers around the area that where they actually provide housing. And on top of it, the individual can't just wander off. There's usually, example, I mean, my stepfather right now is in Brockton. I think he's at the old Embassy House.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's called the Embassy House. It's on the east side over by the theaters. He's there. He's on the second floor. And if he wanted to get downstairs, he can't because the elevator it's a passkey. So there's no way for him to be able to leave the building unless he is signed out for the day by myself or one of my siblings.
But he's in a safe environment.
He's in a safe environment.
Watched and taken
exactly.
care of.
Exactly. So because he's had on and off bouts with diabetes and with his health. He's a couple times where he's kind of blacked out. So he's somewhere if, in fact, he needs medical attention immediately. There's staff, there's qualified staff right there.
Yep. Yes.
Which is very important. Okay, so let's say I suspect that there's elder abuse going on. What should I do?
Yeah. Well, right now in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, there's an 800 number to call, and it's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So I'll give that 800 number if everybody has a pencil there. Or
hold on.
They'll be able to
okay,
hear
I'm ready.
It. So it's 800.
Yep.
922-2275.
So that's the number.
That's the number. So what happens? That's known as centralized intake. So you want to be as specific as possible. You know, if you have the elder's name, their address, how old you think they are. Do you think it's a critical situation that requires immediate intervention? What have you observed? You know, what do you think might be going on? So as much information as you can give to centralized intake. And then what happens is they assign the investigation to a local organization like Old Colony Elder Services. And what we do is we go out and we conduct an assessment. And maybe there are things that we can put into place that are going to help the situation. We want to take a look at what's happening. We want to evaluate the person's functional capacity. We want to see what resources might be available. We want to assist with sort of crisis intervention and advocacy. That's the most important thing, to keep folks as safe as possible in their home, if possible. And if not, we go to the next step.
Beth, do you want to add?
Well, as far as like hands-on, on-the-ground kind of events, like we provide Meals on Wheels through our center, you know, with the help of Old Colony Elder Services. So we deliver 120 meals a day. And that means 120 people are being seen every day by someone. And if there is an emergency or there's even a question that something isn't right, there are people that they can call back at our center, whether it's Terry, who coordinates all the Meals on Wheels, or Andrea and April, who are our outreach coordinators. They have someone that they can call and say, you know what, I'm concerned about Sally. She is not acting the same way that she normally does. She's not dressed. She's usually dressed and waiting for us. She's still in her pajamas. And then we're going to go out and either visually inspect, or we might actually need to call Old Colony and say, hey, someone needs to go out and just double check.
And a big ups to Andrea for helping to coordinate this, and as well as Lynn for being active and being a part of this show. You are listening to Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 WATD, and my guest for this particular segment, you heard just a second ago, Beth Hadfield, who is the activity coordinator for the Center for Active Living, a.k.a. the Plymouth COA. And, of course, we have Lynn Smith, who is with the Old Colony Elder Services, or OCES, as she fondly likes to put it. So what happens? I make a call. Who investigates this? Who will come out and investigate this? Will it be some state official who will flash a badge? What happens?
No, at Old Colony Elder Services, we have a group of people called the Protective Services Division. Mm-hmm. And so it's one of the folks that works for us at OCES. So, you know, we have certain steps that we follow in terms of assessing the situation, sourcing resources, just figuring out at what level this should be addressed and whether immediate. Now, listen, if you are out there and if you see that there's a person that's in immediate danger, you know, call 911. I mean, don't mess around. If you see something that's urgent and that really makes you nervous, but if you have seen something that over time has evolved, then that's when you call the 800 number. And that's why, you know, it's so important that we do all of these awareness events during the month of June so that people have it at their top of mind. You know, if you see something, say something.
In years past, we hand out shirts, and the shirts talk about elder abuse, and it's a nice takeaway. But last year, I had someone come to me and say, could I have a shirt for my friend? And her friend was actually someone that was being abused. Mm. And this woman was able to help her friend have the strength to stand up and say something so that she could get the protection and the care that she needed. So we know, even if that's only one person, that's one more person,
sure,
that we helped and protected when they truly needed us.
We're sitting here talking about abuse and the abuse at someone's hands, but I think, and we indirectly kind of touched upon it for half a second, But we should also be on the lookout for maybe an elder who is self-neglecting themselves. Is that true?
Yes. Self-neglect is, I think, it might be a little bit more noticeable because you're going to see them acting different. It's going to be self-neglect. You're only going to notice if it's someone you truly know. You're going to notice change in patterns, change in habits, not being clean, not being well kept. And someone can step in to have that conversation and ask the important questions that need to be asked, and hopefully that person will be comfortable enough in maybe the environment at the center to be able to say, this is really what's happening, and I need help, and I don't know how to get the help I need.
Right. And, you know, Kevin, one part of self-neglect is a hoarding disorder. And so we're finding more and more people now just can't tell the difference between holding on to something for sentimental reasons and not being able to let it go. And
so
we...
My dad's that way.
Yeah.
He's got stuff piled up. It's organized chaos to him.
But if he's living in a home by himself, it could be a fire hazard.
Oh, I know.
It could be that the EMT...
What if he needs
EMT,
to get out of an egress and it's not wide enough?
Can't get in. So at OCES, we run a couple of workshops every year called Buried in Treasures, where we try to help people think through that sort of hoarding disorder. And we were also very lucky last year in that we got a special grant from a funder to try to help pay for some cleanouts, because it's very, very expensive when you have to do a deep cleaning. You know, what happens if someone goes to the hospital? They can't come back and get a respiratory illness or an infection because of the state of their house. So that can be part of self-neglect as well. You know, fingernails and toenails that aren't taken care of, oral hygiene that's not taken care of, maybe lice, you know, maybe bed bugs, all of those types of things. So these are all of the awareness issues that we want to bring forth. And that's why we march. That's why we march June 14th in Brockton, and we march June 21st in Plymouth.
She's a built-in segue.
Isn't she? She's
awesome.
Built-in,
well, she's seeing me hold the sheets in my hand, too. And we should the final few minutes that we have here, we should talk about the two individual marches that are taking place, rain or shine.
That's right.
We know that next Thursday, June 14th, at the Brockton Council on Aging, 10 Father Kenny Way. There's going to be a march kicking off at noon. What happens during this march?
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, first of all, we couldn't do it without our sponsors. So we have great folks like Shaw's and Roach Brothers who help us with the cake, Papagino's and Bill's Pizza who help us with the pizza, the Plymouth County District Attorney, Tim Cruz, Harbor One Bank, the Rotary Club of Brockton is going to come and support us, Brockton Police, Plymouth Police. So all of these folks chip in and help us do this. So in Brockton, high noon, rain or shine, we
march
line
Main
up
Street.
at the Brockton COA, and we walk right up Main Street to 144 Main to my office. We have a little bit of a pause, a little bit of cold water, and then we turn around and we march right back. And we have some speeches, and we give out awards to people in the community
Excellent.
Who have been really supportive of bringing awareness. And Beth is the organizer for Plymouth, so I'll turn it over to her.
Sure, we'll talk about, so it's coming up
So it's coming
21st,
up Thursday, June 21st.
A week later.
We actually meet at the center, and then we are bused down to the waterfront. We won't be starting exactly at the rock, but we'll be right around it, and we will walk north to the Rotary at the waterfront, and then we will have our water, and then we will march back to the rock, and then hop on the buses and go back to the center for pizza, dessert, and our awards, too.
You have speakers as well?
We do have speakers.
Who's some of the folks that might speak in
Lynn
regards to
Lynn might
this?
Get up and speak.
That would be fantastic.
And
I would pay admission to see that.
Jennifer Young, the director at the Council Center for Active Living. We've just changed our name. We're completely rebranded. We are now the Center for Active Living. We
yeah,
still
I tripped
need
over
to
the first
remind,
time I said it, but I got it now.
We still need to remind
it
people it's the COA, but we really are the Center for Active Living. Terry Quartz,
And our special awardees, who we cannot share their names yet, but our special awardees.
You have to show up for it.
That's and the secret. Kevin, this year we're going to put out two displays of pinwheels, 30 pinwheels. Each one represent 1,000 cases of elder abuse. And I don't know if you know Ron Ferrigno at Sign Design in Brockton.
I know the name.
He has a great big huge digital billboard over Route 24, and he gave us free space on his billboard to promote our marches. Wasn't that a good thing for him to do?
I think it's a good community service thing
Amazing.
To do. Absolutely. Thumbs up to Ron.
Thumbs up to Ron.
You want
to
give some love to somebody in Plymouth who's done the same thing?
Well, not exactly, but Ed Alzheimer's the Lobster is now front and center in front of the Center for Active Living, and our pinwheels will be displayed outside Ed, because the ironic thing about June 21st, it's also the longest day, and it's also to celebrate the longest day for Alzheimer's patients. So
interesting. I actually
got this multi thing going on.
Ed's a star.
Yeah, it is a star.
Ed's a star, and of course, Ed was the... He was part of a news story we had to do because of a little mischief that happened.
Yeah.
Where he went missing.
Yep. But he's going to have his own T-shirt.
That's right.
And
That's
Sid
right.
the Lobster in front of the Spire Center is going to have his own T-shirt.
This is, right now, Peter Brown, who is Tiny and Sons Glass, one of our sponsors here on Monday Night Talk, as well as McGuigan's Pub. Peter Brown is smiling somewhere because we're talking about Ed the Lobster, which is fantastic. Ladies, we just got less than a minute left. Anything, any ground we haven't covered, but you want to give out pertinent information in regards to elder abuse?
Yeah, first I want to thank you very much for having us on. You know, we're both nonprofits, so any type of way we can get the word out through your generosity is really appreciated. And we just want to come and make a strong showing. So if you're close to Brockton, come on the 14th at noon. If you're close to Plymouth, come on the 21st at 11. And let's get the word out. Stop it. Stop it.
Stop elder abuse.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Well, folks, again, Thursday, June 14th in the city of Brockton as they will kick off their march. If you're not doing anything, please attend. And then, of course, Thursday, the 21st, June 21st, Center for Active Living. They'll bus everybody down to the waterfront. Waterfront is beautiful. And this is going to be from 11 to 1. If you're not doing anything, get involved. It's important. Lynn, Beth, I want to thank you. And Roberta, silent partner in the back room. I want to thank you for being here. And
my pleasure.
You got it. We're going to step aside. And when we get back, coming up, we got Mrs. C on the line. So we have Marion Ross will be our guest coming up in just a few moments. You are listening to Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 WATD.
Friday, happy days.
Is Monday Night Talk with your host Kevin Tachi on 95.9 WATD.